we gather in the Lord's house this day to worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this day. To gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day that he has blessed us with. As we gather here, we want to welcome any first-time guests and visitors we have with us. Thank you for joining us in worship this day. If this is your first time visiting with us, we encourage you to fill out one of the visitor's cards that is in the pew in front of you, place it in the offering plate as it is passed around later in the worship service so we can have record of your visit. We have a busy day in the life of our church today. This evening and this afternoon, we have many activities coming up. I do want to remind our ministry teams this afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have church council, so please have a representative from your ministry team to be there at church council at 4 o'clock. Everyone is invited to gather around the table upstairs in the fellowship hall tonight at 5 o'clock for a fellowship meal. I hope everybody will enjoy a time of food around the table. That is followed by our Elon Roundtable for our adults. That meeting will start at 5:30. And as soon as that meeting is over, our men's and women's Bible studies will take place immediately following the Elon Roundtable tonight. Our youth will meet at their normal time at 5:30. Children's activities is 5:30 as well. So we have a busy night of ministry tonight. You will not want to miss any part of that. So please come out this afternoon and this evening tonight for a time of ministry here at First Baptist Elon. I also wanted to follow up an announcement that took place last week from Reggie Vick as chairperson of our pastor search committee. Many of you received today as you left your Sunday school classrooms the pastor search surveys that they were distributing. If you did not receive one coming out of Sunday school today, there will be two representatives in the foyer this morning to pass those out today as you leave worship. Please take one of those home with you. Prayerfully consider those as you fill out those surveys. They're asking that those surveys be returned to the foyer in the basket in the foyer right outside by Sunday, June 9th. Sunday, June 9th. So please, if you get them done earlier, please return them to the basket sooner than that. One thing they did want you to do is return it in that same envelope that they came in. So that'll be easier for them to keep track of everything that comes in. Again, you heard Reggie say there's a chance to sign at the bottom with your signature because they want to make track of who's returning these so we can have an accurate count of who's returning these pastor search surveys. Please take your time. Please prayerfully consider your responses on these surveys as you return those. They will be available in the next couple weeks as well, but we do want to make sure we get all of those back by Sunday, June 9th. If you have any questions about that, please see one of the Pastor Search team members. You can see Reggie or Leslie, I know, or many of our other Search team members who are here this morning, but please pick those up this morning. You will also notice that the articles for the June newsletter coming up are due today. Janice will be working on that this week. So if you have anything that you would like to be placed in the newsletter for this coming month, please let her know early this week, Monday or Tuesday of this week, so she can start organizing, planning, preparing for that. You will see many ministry opportunities coming up in the near future in that newsletter. You'll also have an opportunity to hear about a ministry that will be coming up in a couple weeks in just a few moments. I also want to give a shout out to the college team and all those who provided food for our college reading day this past Wednesday. There was a lot of food, right, Debbie? There was a lot of food upstairs. There's still a lot of food upstairs. And I know the college students that stepped foot in these doors enjoyed it. They were thankful for it. You could see the relief on many of their faces this week as they were finishing up exams this week. Thank you for your extension reaching out to our community. Thank you, Debbie and David and the college team, for your ministry to our college students. And thank you for extending that invitation to them this past week. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, I'm going to turn it over to Kathy, who is going to introduce our guest speaker, she is not new to the pulpit here at First Baptist Elon.
David.
Yes.
Before you leave,
okay.
We want those surveys back in that envelope,
yep.
And do not give them to a staff
person. Yeah. Please do not return the surveys to a staff person or the office. Make sure you place it in the basket in the foyer.
David.
Yes.
And it's not just members. If you are a faithful attendee of this church but not a member yet, we still want to know what you think.
We want everyone to get a survey, okay?
Welcome.
Sorry, Kathy.
No, you're good. I have the honor and privilege of introducing Reverend Lainey Mofield to our church as our guest speaker this morning. As David mentioned, she is no stranger to our church. I'd like to welcome Debbie, Mark's sister, and Mark was our former pastor as a preacher here at the church. And as my son says, this Reverend Lainey is Mark's mama. So that's what Landon always called him, mama. But Reverend Lainey, she has served at Baptist and Methodist churches in Florida and Virginia. She currently pastors the Church of Hope in Roanoke, Virginia, and is the adjunct instructor at Virginia Western Community College. I think you will be very blessed by her message that she brings this morning, and I just ask that you open your hearts and your ears to hear God's message.
Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, reading verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Let us go to the Lord in prayer with that love this morning. God of love, plant us in the soil of your grace. Nurture us with the strength of Christ, the vine of everlasting life. Enlighten us with the wisdom of your Spirit this day, which flows through us today as we worship and every day as we celebrate you as our Creator. Abide in us this day that we may abide in you and live in your love. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Living Hope.
To heaven and spoke your name. This year's Royal Ambassador Grand Prix Pinewood Car Race will be a reunion event. It's scheduled for June 2nd, 2 weeks from today. All past and present RAs are invited to participate. I have mailed out close to 40 invitations. I've heard from a few folks. If you know of anybody in your family that is an RA, even if they were not an RA in this church, they can still participate. Pull the car off the shelf, out of the closet. If you want to build a new one, we can work that out too. Also, we'll have the Formula 6 race. You don't have to be an RA to race in that. These are for cars that weigh over 5 ounces. Now, in this event, past winning cars are not eligible to participate. In the RA race, cars weighing less than 5 ounces, if they have won the race before, they can participate. In an effort to spice up the competition, there's going to be a race within a race. Expert car builders, Stephen Owens, Tony Roof, have been working on cars to represent each Sunday school class. We're going to call this a Sunday school class challenge. The highest finishing Sunday school class car will win the Sunday school challenge. It will be a part of the Formula 6 race. I have been notified a couple of weeks ago that MRI will be participating. Mofuel Racing Incorporated. Noah, Justin, and Mark will be here, and they are building new cars and will participate in the Formula 6 race. If you want to participate in an RA or Formula 6 event, let me know. And you don't have a car, let me know. I have cars today I can give you, kits to build. Again, June 2nd, weighing in at 4 o'clock, racing at 4:30. Judy and Norman are going to be here. They will participate. Judy started the RA program at First Baptist Church of Elon. I think that's significant. I'm glad you're only going to be with us. There will be a cookout to follow. Pat, where's April?
Right here.
April, get your graphite ready. Thank you.
One last year.
Poor Jerry's car has never won a thing. It's always coming last.
I'm building a new one.
Our obituary hymn this morning is Soon and Very Soon. This is probably my most favorite hymn of all time. Soon and Very Soon. Hymn number 192. Let's stand and let's worship together. If you can't tap your toe on this one, something's wrong.
Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you You are an abundant God, and out of your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be a great blessing to many. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 56, reading the words of David. Be gracious to me, O God, for people trample on me all day long. Foes oppress me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many fight against me. O Most High, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they seek to injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they hope to have my life. So repay them for their crime. In wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Then my enemies will retreat. In the day when I call, this I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I am not afraid. What can a mere mortal do to me? My vows to you I must perform, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so that I may walk before God in the light of life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning and reflect on these words of David. Let us pray. Father, how many times do we feel like David felt in this psalm where we feel pushed around and pulled around and trampled upon by all that are around us? The stresses and trials of life. And Father, how many times is it just so easy when we feel that way to just lie there and let it continue? Or to reach out for help to pull us up from that trouble only to reach to someone who feels the same way as we do. Father, when we feel these times, Father, where we turn to someone else other than you, we ask for forgiveness. Because we know We know that when we turn to you, you are there. We know when we turn to you that you answer. We know that when we turn to you, you hear every prayer. You catch every tear. You feel every emotion. And for that, we give you thanks. Father, may we be reminded of these words of David tomorrow and the next day and the next. And may we turn to you, our one true source of life and hope and strength. We lift this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Thank you. Well, the Mofields are coming. I've been hearing about it. It's on the streets. They've been working hard. They're remembering victories of days long past. They will return. I bring you greetings from the entire Mofield family. It is so good to be back with you today. As I sat here, I could not help but think back so many years ago, the very first Sunday that Mark entered this pulpit as your pastor, as we sat here, and I looked around and I thought, do they know what they're getting into? That was, and parents, you'll understand this point. That was at that point in our relationship. Up until that point, Mark had been, of course, he had been, you know, at home and went away to college, went to divinity school, came back and was serving a church in Roanoke. But as long as he was in Roanoke, he was Laney Mofield's little boy. He moved to Elon, and he suddenly, I am Mark's mama. And that's okay, Kathy. I take great pride in being Mark's mama. But I remember through the years that Mark and Amy and Justin and Noah were with you, what wonderful times and how wonderful it was to come and be here to watch. The very first, one of the first times I came was when Noah was born. And then when Justin was baptized. And then as I watched the boys grow up here. And last night as we sat around the table and talked, and those boys are now 6 feet tall and doing so well, I give First Baptist Elon credit. You have been their home church, and you gave them that strong roots and foundation. You lived before them in flesh, the faith that they have needed and continue to need. So please know that from the bottom of my heart, you have my greatest appreciation and gratitude for loving my family, for taking care of them for those years, and for continuing to love them and let them come back and play with you. Thank you so much. Hear the words from the Revelation of John. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God, and they will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Will you pray with me? And now, O God, speak to us through your word. Hear the cries and the prayers of our hearts as we lift them to you. Embrace us in your love, and may we recognize your presence, not only in this time, but as we go forth to be your people in this world. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever wondered what heaven is like? I mean, have you really given it serious thought? That which we all claim as the perfect eternal ending to life. As I get older, I find my thoughts travel more to what that's going to be like. I know we've heard of streets of gold with beautiful shimmering color, eternally blooming flowers and palatial ornate buildings, a continuous organ music, harps and choirs, choirs on every corner, choirs all around singing, choir members in long white robes with wings. And you know, I've always wondered about the wing part. Why do the choir members need wings? Quick getaway?
No robes.
No robes. No robes. We did away with robes, didn't we? I assume that the rest of us are going to float, levitate, you know. The unknown of heaven, though, holds a fascination for all of us, doesn't it? It's a mystery our minds can't really begin to fathom. It's even the subject for wild imaginations, and even Hollywood gets into it with speculation of what heaven is like. I don't know, we try to describe it more in terms we're familiar with, those things that we know about. If we were honest, we'd probably all admit that there's some place, some condition, some situation, some environment that in our human understanding and grasp, we can imagine is at least close to what heaven might be like. For example, some of you may see heaven as sitting in a lounge rocker on in the shade of a huge veranda on a continuous spring day, sipping cool lemonade. But now for others, heaven may be that perfectly manicured, unending golf course with no sand traps, no water hazards, and oh yes, no greens fees. Others may think of heaven as a sparkling freshwater lake eternally stocked with 3-pound bass. And others may dream of something a little bit larger than Mall of America, with countless shops and department stores and eternal blue light specials. But I would suppose most of us envision heaven as simply peace and quiet, reprieve from schedules and computers and calendars and emails and voicemails and telemarketers and, oh yes, robocalls. For all of us, the perception of heaven would not be complete without the vision of reunions with those whom we have loved, those we've shared life with. I'm sure that most of us would probably agree that heaven will not include hospitals, traffic jams, alarm clocks, police stations, chemotherapy, cemeteries, or political parties. And personally, I have it on the best information that there will not be a single lima bean on the other side of glory. No matter what our imagination pictures as heaven, though, I believe one of the best descriptions I've ever read I found in a children's book entitled The Next Place. Listen to these words. "The next place I go will be as peaceful and as familiar as a sleepy summer Sunday and a sweet, untroubled mind. And yet, it won't be anything like any place I've ever been or seen or even dreamed of in the place I left behind. I won't remember getting there. Somehow I'll just arrive, but I'll know that I belong there and will feel much more alive than I have ever felt before in the place I left behind." Heaven. The New Jerusalem, the Holy City, the Promised Land, whatever you choose to call it, sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Yet every time I read this passage, from Revelation, there's one phrase which captures my attention. Listen again. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. No more sea. No more sea. Now, I don't know about the folks in North Carolina, except that crowd that lives down in Durham. But in Virginia, beginning about the second week of January, on those cold, dreary, dark, snowy days, the only thing that makes life bearable is the talk of the beach. Which beach are you going to? Topsail, Myrtle, Oak Isle, Pawleys Island, maybe Kiowa, may get as far down as Hilton. When are you going? How long are you going to stay? Where are you staying? And of course, in Virginia, everyone has that favorite shortcut that they believe can cut exactly 3 minutes off the drive that they made last year to the beach, and that they can beat their neighbor to get to the beach. Oh, just to put our feet in the sand, to walk along the water's edge at sunset, to watch the sunrise on the horizon over the ocean, to follow the dolphins as they play. For many of us, the ocean, the sea, the beach, that's like heaven on earth, isn't it? Surely that can't be right. That heaven will mean no more sea. Bible scholars tell us that there are several ways to read and interpret Revelation. Some argue that it's a futuristic prophecy of coming events and end times. Others argue that John was writing a political message for the current situations of his day, while still others suggest that Revelation is a detailed history of past events. But no matter how we choose to interpret the writings, we also have to consider there's a lot of symbolism in Revelation, with its numbers and colors and places, all of which would have held very special meaning for those original readers. And so when we read "No More Sea," think for a moment of the author of Revelation, John. John exiled on the island of Patmos, completely isolated, surrounded, separated, cut off by the sea. Now, when you think about that and consider that, the phrase "no more sea" takes on a different meaning, doesn't it? The sea would have represented to John the greatest of his fears, the most terrifying unknown, and loneliness that would have been overwhelming. So then the new heaven and the new earth in its perfection will have no more sea. Nothing to fear, and certainly nothing to separate us from God. And that's a wonderful thought. No more sea. Nothing to fear. Well, just as I think we all have our own personal version of what heaven will be like, I think we also have our own personal catalog of greatest fears. Our own seas, which cast their dreaded shadows and waves across our lives. Those things that frighten us and make us anxious. Now, what might frighten you may not bother me at all. And what might paralyze me with fear might not distress you in the least bit. I remember years ago chaperoning a high school band trip to Orlando, Florida. I stood perched on what seemed like a 50-story tower at Wet n Wild. If you want to experience something, spend a day at Wet n Wild, a water park. And I remember standing there looking down, straight down, at what appeared to be a miniature child's wading pool. And against my better judgment, allowed myself to be talked into a plastic raft with four other well-educated, supposedly mature adults, all of whom were school teachers, by the way, who should have known better. And then in a moment of total insanity, flinging ourselves off that tower into oblivion. Now, I can promise you that the scream that came through these lips and the fact that my eyes were so tightly shut through the entire fall, which I estimated to be about an hour and a half, none of that began to convey to those other people in the raft just how frightened I was. We got to the bottom finally, and those people wanted to do it again. But that fear did not compare with the fear I experience every time I go to my dentist for a checkup. Now, he's a wonderfully kind and gentle man, but there's always that fear lurking in the back of my mind that this time he becomes the dental equivalent of Norman Bates, Freddy Krueger, and Hannibal Lecter all rolled into one. But you know, that fear doesn't begin to touch what I felt years ago, waiting in a hotel in Durham for Mark to pick me up when a phone call came telling me to get to Duke Emergency Room. Mark had been in an automobile accident. Oh, there's all kinds of fears, aren't there? The sea represents for us, for each of us, those unknown dangers which grip and hold us in their clutches. Fears that have names like cancer, Alzheimer's, divorce, unemployment, addiction, violence, loneliness, death. Discovery, that fear that despite our best efforts, somehow, somewhere, someone will see through a crack in the mask we've created for ourselves and catch a glimpse of our insecurities and our weaknesses, our inadequacies, and worse, our failures. The seas are endless. For each of us, there's a possibility that a fear can wash over us and sweep us up and carry us out and separate us. So the promise of no more sea comes as a welcome lifesaver to hold on to. Yet the new heaven, the new earth, no more sea, is still for you and me a future hope. Something to look forward to. But how do we then live right now? Today, tomorrow, and every tomorrow. Because you see, the sea is very much a part of our lives in the nasty now and now, isn't it? If you spend much time at the beach, you know that what may begin as a beautiful sunny day, the gentle waves casting up on the sands, can often in just a few moments change. Storm clouds begin to gather. The skies become dark. Waves begin to roll harder and crash louder. In the distance, you can hear thunder, lightning across the way. Wind will pick up and begin to blow around. If you've got a tent, you, you begin to buckle down and you think, well, I better gather everything up and get to shelter. But then just as quickly, it can pass. Sun comes out, and once again, it's that beautiful day. Have you noticed that many times the same thing happens in life? It's been said that neither our greatest dreams or our worst fears come true. Much of the time, the thing that we fear and worry and fret over just doesn't happen. The kids aren't in an automobile accident. The diagnosis is not malignancy. We keep the job. The marriage is saved. Everything works out. But life is not always so kind. There are times when the storm rages, when the sea washes over us and our worst fears come to pass. So what then? I grew up in Florida. As a family, my family would go every year to Central Florida and spend several weeks at the lake there. It was not at all uncommon on the late afternoons in Florida for those thunder clouds to gather, the skies to darken, the winds to pick up, the claps of thunder and lightning. One year, though, as that storm gathered, it kept up. It went through the whole afternoon, into the night. The force of the water literally tore apart every dock and boat on the lake. All around, homes were destroyed, trees were uprooted, cars were crushed as near hurricane force winds tore across Central Florida. I was just a child. As much as I tried not to be terrified, it was only in the presence of my parents that I found comfort and security for the great fear that I was feeling. I knew that they loved me, and in all childlike faith, I knew that they would take care of me no matter what happened. In the reading from Psalms 56. Did you notice that the psalmist wrote of experience he knew firsthand? He knew what it was like to go through those rough times. What time I am afraid, I will put my trust in God. The psalmist acknowledged that in life, fear is not just a possibility, it is a reality. And if we have not yet been through the seas of life and the storms of life, they will in fact come. The psalmist had experienced the unknown, the uncertainty, and the insecurity that you and I feel from time to time. And his response was to seek that one place where he could trust. Just like I did when I was a child on that lake in Central Florida, to be close to the Father, to be with the parents, those who offered me comfort and security. The psalmist assures us that he could put his trust in God, just as you and I can. He assures us that God will be with us, will be our God, yes, not just for some time in the future time, in eternity, but for today and every day, at whatever time and in whatever situation we may find ourselves, whatever time we may be afraid, we can put our trust in God. We can find in the midst of the sea of our fears a very present help in the abiding presence of our Heavenly Father. God offers us the assurance that the worst thing will not be the last thing. Indeed, there will come a day when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, when there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, and in the sweet by and by, and in the perfection of the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no more sea. But for the time being, for the nasty now and now, we don't need to drown in our fears, because our God is perfect God. Our God is with us, not away from us. Our God is for us, not against us. Our God is helping us, not forsaking us. A very present help in time of troubles. In the late 1800s, a young attorney by the name of Horatio Spafford had invested heavily in real estate on the shores of Lake Michigan in Chicago. Just a few months later, he watched as his entire holdings were destroyed by the Great Chicago Fire. His only son died shortly after that. Spafford's wife struggled through her grief and pain, and it began to take a toll on her health. And so at the advice of their family physician, Spafford planned to take his wife and four daughters on a vacation trip to Europe. At the last moment, his business plans changed, and so he sent his family on ahead. They set sail in November, and on the 22nd of the month, their ship collided with an English sailing vessel and sank within a matter of minutes. All four daughters were lost, but Mrs. Spafford was rescued. On December 1st, when the survivors arrived finally in Wales, Mrs. Spafford sent a message back to her husband. All are lost. Saved alone. As Spafford himself made that sad journey across the sea a few months later, the ship passed the very spot where his four beloved daughters had been lost. And it was there that he penned these words: "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." We prayed this morning in the Lord's Prayer, asking for daily care from God's hand. Trusting God begins as we learn to live each day, depending on that care, and steadfast, whatever our lot, step by step. Wherever we may be, whatever sea we may face, confidently assured that it is well with our souls. I read one time that sometimes God calms the sea. We know that. Sometimes those storm clouds just pass over and the seas are once again calm. Sometimes God calms the sailor. You know that also. Many of you would stand in testimony today of how God has walked with you, carried you through some of life's most difficult storms and seas. But I would add that sometimes God also provides crewmates to go with us through the seas and the storms. You know, if we only knew what the person sitting next to us was going through, we would probably be a lot kinder. We don't know the storms and the seas that someone else might be going through. But God has given us the ministry of standing with one another, linked arm in arm, offering strength, loving one another to help each other through, so that together it is well with our souls. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, today we stand before you in all honesty, confessing that there are times in life when seas and storms and clouds would almost overwhelm us, when it would appear that we've lost everything, when it would be so easy for our lives to be just tossed out. And yet, oh God, we acknowledge that in life there are times when even in the darkest days, the sun shines. The clouds break. All too often we fail to acknowledge that the presence of God has carried us through. Thank you, oh God, for being that very present help whenever we are afraid. Thank you for being that constant that we never need doubt. And we know, oh God, that even right now, there are those within this room who are struggling. They are in what feels like the fight of their lives, and it seems as though the seas are winning. God, we pray your peace and your presence to enclose them, to wrap them in your strong arms of comfort, of safety. Draw them close to you. And Father, may each one of us see ourselves as called to the ministry of being crewmates, of standing with another, of offering our strength to one who may be wavering, of being your living reminders. May we flesh your presence to one another, not just through this day, but for days to come. Thank you, O God, that you love us. May we hear your call to love one another. For it is in your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I can speak as someone who knows First Baptist Church Elon because of what it has meant in my life. This church has been an example, a lighthouse in the storm. You have offered strength and comfort to your community, to your college, to your friends, to those who have passed your way. But you know, none of us are exempt from the fears that life brings to us. This morning we come and we sing, "It is well with my soul," and it may be that for some, those words right now are very hard to sing. But I think I speak without any hesitation when I say this church will be the crewmates that you so desperately need when you face those seas. As a church, you're in one of those rough seas. And it can be frightening when there's no pastor. It can seem as though there's no direction and as though we're not right sure and we just want to do the right thing, but we're not sure and what should... Hear me say this. The same God who promised the psalmist that he would be with him whatever time he was afraid, that same God is for First Baptist Elon. For each one of you as individuals and as a congregation. Will you stand as we sing?